read Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And it says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this great book of Revelation, of Galatians, that meant so much to Martin Luther and the Reformers during the Reformation. And we thank You for the message of it. We pray that as we begin to study it tonight, that You will bless our time and that Your Holy Spirit would be our teacher to help us to understand what we need to know. We commit this time to You in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are going to study the book of Galatians for the next few weeks, and this tonight is going to be the introduction to the book of Galatians. Galatians is a letter that is written not to one single church, but to an area or a region. There was a Roman province called Galatia. Galatia literally means something like the place where the Gauls live. Galatia is the place where the Gauls are from. The Gauls were a barbarian people. Sometimes you might know them as the Celts. They were the Gaelic or the Celtic people. They were barbarians who kept invading Rome and harassing Rome and then Greece until about 230 BC, when Attalus of Pergamum defeated them and established them in an area in Central Asia Minor. Later, they were subjected by the Romans, made Roman citizens, and in about 26 BC, the Romans named a province of the Roman Empire Galatia, that stretches from Pontus on the Black Sea to Pamphylia on the Mediterranean Sea. So it is a very large geographical area called Galatia. But Paul was probably writing to the churches in South Galatia that he established on his first missionary journey in Derbe and Lystra and Iconium and Antioch of Pisidia. That first missionary journey took place about 46 to 48 AD. And then this letter was written a couple of years after that, probably about 49 AD. For the introduction to the book, I want to talk about three things tonight. I want to talk about how this salutation that we read a moment ago differs from other salutations written by the Apostle Paul. I want to talk about the defense of Paul's apostleship in this salutation, and I want to talk about the description of the gospel that Paul preached in this salutation. So first of all, the salutation of Galatians is different from Paul's other salutations. In the salutations of Paul's letters to other churches, there are thanksgivings and commendations. For instance, Romans 1:8 says, First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. In 1 Corinthians to the church at Corinth, he said, I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in Him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:3-5 says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And he wrote to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians, there is no such commendation or thanksgiving for them. Why? There was nothing to commend them for. And Paul was too honest to put a good face on something when it didn't exist. Dr. J. Gresham Machen wrote a series of articles on Galatians from 1931 to 1933. At the time, the Presbyterian Church was drifting away from the old Westminster Confession of Faith and from the Word of God. And in one of those articles, Machen asked the question, how would Paul designate our churches of the present day? And then he answered his own question. He said, I am convinced that he would utter no such commendation at all. Machen went on to say, many persons seem to think that it is eminently pious to give thanks to God whether or not there is anything to be thankful for. They seem to think that loyalty to the church means blind loyalty to a human organization or to agencies and boards. They seem to think that sin in individual or ecclesiastical life can be removed by saying it is not there. They cover up the serious issues of the day in the councils of the church by a sad misuse of the sacred exercise of prayer. Paul's way was very different. A sterling honesty ran all through his devotional life. He thanked God for what was good. He prayed to God, sometimes with tears, for the removal of what was bad, but always he was honest with God. In more recent history, there have been preachers who emphasized the power of positive thinking. If the Apostle Paul had been around to hear those preachers, I'm sure he would have said, that's very interesting, but it's just not biblical. There are times that call for negativity, and there is negativity in the Bible. Paul was not especially pleased with the Galatians, the churches in Galatia, and so he did not commend them. Secondly, there is a defense of Paul's apostleship in this salutation. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Paul says two important things in that verse. He says, my apostleship does not come from men as the source of it. And then he says, my apostleship did not come through men as a channel. Now the reason he said that was because his apostleship was being criticized and challenged by the false teachers who had come into the churches in Galatia. Paul's apostleship came directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. His commission was totally divine. So what does that mean to us? It means that when Paul speaks or acts as an apostle of Jesus Christ, he does so with Christ's authority. The inspired writings of Paul bear the authority of Christ. It is just as if Christ were speaking to us. There are two implications of this. First of all, individual opinions are not ever above the Bible. When we disagree with Paul, we disagree with Christ. Second, the church is not above the Bible. Neither officials of the church nor councils of the church can change the Bible. John Stott said, the apostles derived their authority from God through Christ. Apostolic authority is divine authority. It is neither human nor ecclesiastical, and because it is divine, we must submit to it. The only proper response to the words of Scripture is to hear them and to submit to them. Well, thirdly, there is a description of Paul's gospel in this salutation. The gospel that he preached, which is the true gospel. Verse 3 through 5 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Peace. is the result of salvation. Peace with God. Jesus' death on the cross is the historical event in which God's grace was exhibited and peace was granted. There are three facts about Christ's death in verse 4. First of all, it says Christ died for our sins. And that says something about the nature of Christ's death. What was the nature of Christ's death? He died for what? He died for our sins. Jesus didn't die as a frustrated martyr. Jesus didn't die as an exemplary hero for a cause. The death of Jesus Christ wasn't even primarily an act of love. Primarily, it was a sacrifice for sin. There was love involved in it, but primarily it was a sacrifice for sin. He died for our sins. It was voluntary. Christ voluntarily submitted to the will of the Father and died a death that He did not deserve to die. It was a vicarious death. It was for somebody else. It wasn't for Him. It was for our sins. It was for us. He died as a substitute for us. It was a penal death. It was to pay the penalty of our sins. Jesus died because someone had to die to pay for sin. Sin demands death, and Jesus died a penalty for our sins. Christ died to deliver us from the present evil age. That says something about the object of His death. The word deliver there is the word rescue, and it is translated rescue in some versions of the Bible. It's translated rescue in the New International Version. That is a very strong verb. Deliver. Rescue. In fact, in the book of Acts, it is used in very strong circumstances. In Acts chapter 7, verse 10, talking about Israel, it says, it talks about Joseph being sold into slavery, and it says God was with him and delivered him or rescued him out of his affliction. God rescued Joseph out of his difficulty. He uses the word again over in Acts chapter 7, verse 34, talking about Egypt. And he says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them, to rescue them. It's in these situations of bondage when the word rescue is used. It's used again in Acts chapter 12, verse 11. And Peter was in prison, and it says, the angel rescued me out of the hand of Herod. And it's used once again in Acts chapter 23, verse 27, where a Roman tribune writes to the governor concerning Paul and says, this man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them when I came upon them with the soldiers and rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman citizen. And here in Galatians 1:4, Paul is saying that we have been rescued out of the bondage of this present evil age. It is talking about setting you free from the bondage of a system, an evil system that is in rebellion against God and that will ultimately come to ruin. There are two ages in view there. It's talking about one age that is now, and it's talking about another age that is in the future. There is a future age of redemption that Christians are a part of now. We are still in this present evil age. We're still in this age where the earth is cursed and so forth. But spiritually, we are partakers of the age to come already. John R. Stott wrote this, the Bible divides history into two ages, this age and the age to come. It tells us, moreover, that the age to come has come already because Christ inaugurated it, although the present age has not yet fully passed away. So the two ages are running their course in parallel. They overlap one another. Christian conversion means being rescued from the old age and being transferred into the new age, the age to come. And the Christian life is living in this age, the life of the age to come. That's what the Bible means when it says that we are in this world but not of this world. Our true citizenship is in heaven. We still live here, but we are looking for, our eyes are fixed on another city. Christ died according to the will of the Father, it says. It's not as if Christ came to reconcile us to a reluctant God. The Father planned it all. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all work together in harmony for our salvation. So Paul concludes this salutation with a doxology. There's no commendation of the Galatians. There's no thanksgiving for them. But for God, who brought us salvation through Jesus Christ, there is. Christ died for our sins and rescues us out of this present evil age. That is already accomplished for us. Christ appointed the Apostle Paul to testify of that salvation. At some point we heard the good news, and God enabled us to believe it and to receive the grace and peace which Christ accomplished for us. So thank God for our salvation in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the salvation that we have in Christ, for sending a messenger to preach the good news to us, and for the peace, the grace and peace that comes with it. Thank You for getting us started in the book of Galatians tonight, and may our lives be enriched by the study of it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.